Good morning. There are many goals that we all should strive for in this life, whether it is to excel in our careers, graduate from a school, and earn a degree, such as in my case. Maybe there are some personal goals that we wish to achieve, such as running a marathon, exercising, maybe writing. Whatever the case may be, and whatever personal goals may be in this life, there are some goals that we must all strive for in this life. Now, while our ultimate goal should be to get to heaven, that's not what I'm going to be completely focusing on today. What I will be focusing on today is a goal that we can achieve through hard work and discipline and will inevitably greatly help towards that ultimate goal of heaven. What we should all be striving for in this life is wisdom, and not just any kind of wisdom, but godly wisdom, the kind that will make us wise in God's eyes. Let's delve a little bit more into what we want to take out of the concept of wisdom. What do we usually think of when we think of the concept of wisdom? Well, we always associate wisdom with someone who has a vast amount of knowledge and knows just about everything you can think of. We look at wisdom as the mentors in the movies or books or TV shows that we watch or read, who is usually one of the older ones who knows everything and has every solution that could possibly be solved. In today's age, we might look at wisdom as someone who has a PhD or some sort of degree and has a vast amount of knowledge in a particular subject, and one who has probably written many scholarly works or books. And for the most part, it is still a figure older than us who is a source of valuable information. Now, what about wisdom in the Bible? I think one of the most obvious things we can look at for most of us is Solomon. He is most commonly known for having wisdom that was given to him by God. Let's first turn over to 1 Kings chapter 3 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5 and following, God comes to Solomon in a dream and asks Solomon what he wanted. And Solomon answers, actually not verse 5, verse 7. He answers in verse 7, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place. You made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Solomon knew the blessings that God gave to David, his father, as king, and he saw that he could be better equipped to follow in his father's footsteps as a king. So he asked God to provide for himself wisdom to lead his people. He was asked by God for anything that he wished for. God said, "You can have whatever you want." And Solomon, instead of asking for a selfish desire, he instead asked for wisdom, which not only helped himself, but helped others around him as well. We even see that God is pleased by this wish in verses 10 through 11. And we see that wisdom in effect later in that chapter when we see the story of the two mothers who bring the one child in. And they're arguing over who is the mother of that child. And they bring this issue to King Solomon. And King Solomon said, "Let me cut the baby in half, and I will give each to each mother." But then the real mother of that child pleaded for King Solomon to spare that child's life. And because of that, he knew who was the mother. So what about us? Can we have that very same wisdom that Solomon was blessed with by God? What type of wisdom should we strive for? There is a way for us to obtain that same wisdom that God gave Solomon. And it's not through PhDs, it's not through degrees, or from being smarter than anyone else. In fact, it's not even from a dream from God asking what you wish for. Let's look at our main passage in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, which Brother Chris Shambly read for us. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. The key to obtaining wisdom is simply this. It's simply through this book, the Bible. We can find that wisdom through fervent study of his book. But how? Well, God may not provide us with wisdom through supernatural means, but he gives us all the tools we need to get through this life right here, just in this book. It provides the way to eternal life and gives us comfort in times of need. And it doesn't matter what age we are. We have the ability to know what it says and act on it. And in order to get to that point, we have to know what it says. And that's when knowledge comes in. We need to be able to find a way to study God's word and develop a habit of doing it so that we can have a consistent flow of information provided to us from it. Just like with anything else, finding a consistent habit and dedication to something will get you better at it. And it is no different with God's word. When we find that habit of being able to study God's word and to get to know it better, and not just through Sundays and Wednesdays, then we will grow in knowledge in God's word. And like with any goal we have, I agree, it is hard sometimes to be able to do it. But this is one of the steps that we have in order to be able to know what God's word says and how we can apply it to our lives. Knowing God's word is very different from having wisdom in it, however. We can know as much as we can about the Bible. We can be able to quote as many scriptures as we want. We can quote entire chapters. We can quote whatever we want from memory, from this book. We can know as much as we can know, but that doesn't mean we have wisdom. It doesn't mean we have wisdom, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we can apply it either. But how does that help us grow as Christians? Actually, wait. If we aren't able to apply it, how does that help us to grow as Christians? How does it help us to become Christians in the first place? Without this, how do we even get to that point? We do not worship God and study this book for no reason whatsoever. There is a very good reason that this book has lasted for nearly 2,000 years, and it is the very reason we are all here today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 through 25. It says, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which has been preached to you." But not only must we know and apply God's word to our lives, but in order to apply it, we must have an understanding of it. And with all three of these things, we can obtain wisdom through God's word. If we turn over to Acts chapter 8 and verses 26 and following, we can see the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and how Philip found him reading Isaiah 53, the passage about the prophecy of Jesus' crucifixion. The problem is that the Ethiopian couldn't understand what he was reading, so he asked Philip what he was reading when Philip came over. He asked in verse 31, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" He didn't understand what he was reading, but Philip, who did, came to him and helped him to understand it. And as they were going, most of us know that the eunuch saw the water and wanted to be baptized upon seeing it. And before Philip did that, he asked him, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" And the Ethiopian said, "Yes, I do. I believe." Once the Ethiopian had the knowledge of God's word and he was able to understand it, then he was able to act upon it right then and there. Once we develop an understanding of what we learn, then we can provide it into our lives, and not only can we grow from it, but we can teach others who do not understand what the word says and pass on that wisdom we have attained through our understanding to help others grow alongside us. See, wisdom not only benefits us as individuals, but if we can obtain wisdom through the knowledge, application, and understanding of God's word, then we'll be able to help others obtain it as well. And that is how we can grow together as Christians. We have to have these three things. Otherwise, it can be put to waste and can also be detrimental to others. Just as it can be a benefit, it can also hurt others as well. Just as it says in Romans chapter 1, in verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. If we say that we know God's word, yet we use it for purposes against God, then we are not wise. We are fools. We can say we're wise, and like I said earlier, we can have as much knowledge about the Bible as we can, but without wisdom, we are just simply fools. And in order for us to be wise, we have to know God's word and to apply it, as I said before. But not just that, we have to go by the whole word. Something I see a lot in our world today is that we want to have our own understanding of God's word in order to fit better into our lives. And one of the biggest examples, I talked about this in the James class last Wednesday, but one of the biggest examples of this is baptism. You know, a lot of people will go to John chapter 3 and verse 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life," and say that that is the way to salvation. Even though it says in Mark 16, verses 15 through 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe shall be condemned." If we're going to believe the Bible and obey God's word, then we need to take the entire Bible at heart. We cannot take bits and pieces of it, and we cannot just walk around it and say whatever we want about it. We have to obey exactly what it says, no matter how hard it is, because our soul is depending directly on this. John chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, yes, it is. When Jesus was talking to the Jews, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If there is one verse that shows exactly what I'm saying, if I could just pick one verse that could show truly the wisdom that we can get from God's word and how we can benefit from it, it's Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, and it's where I got my title for this morning. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." We cannot be wise in our own eyes. We have to instead be wise in God's eyes. God is the one that created us. He knows all. He knows our very thoughts. He knew us before he was born, just as David said himself. He knows us. He created us. So therefore, he knows better than us. Therefore, what other choice do we have than to take from the wisdom of this word? It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how long we've been Christians. We can all still benefit and grow in the wisdom of God's word. It doesn't matter if we have been Christians for a few days or for 70 years. We can all benefit from its word. But at the same time, we have to continue to grow, and we cannot let that wisdom fall, because even Solomon, with all of his wisdom, sinned greatly against God later in his life. And we cannot let the same mistake happen to us as well. This morning, if you are not a child of God, then I pray that you become one by believing in him, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then being baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, and to continue to grow in the wisdom of God's word. Just like the Ethiopian, once he knew what he had to do to be saved, he acted on it, and he became a child of God. And if you are a Christian this morning, and maybe you've been struggling with your faith, or maybe you've let God's word not let you, not you haven't allowed God's word to let you grow in wisdom, then I pray that you allow that today and become a part of God's family as we all grow together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Won't you come forward now while we stand and while we sing?